For those of you alive in 1969, this will be a very familiar piece of audio for you.
It's still almost impossible to believe that right out there in front of me, there are three men strapped into their seats at the top of that huge rocket. And I mean, it's a really huge rocket. And it'll send them where man has never been before. 1 minute and 1 second. We're going into the final countdown on man's flight to the moon. And it's just absolutely incredible here. The rocket is just raring to go. It's 50 seconds now until man takes off on this flight. And frankly, I just can hardly describe to you the excitement and the tension and the feeling of goose pimples that, well, this time we're really going, and it starts a whole new phase of man's life. It's down to 31 seconds, 30 seconds. We've got so little time now before we finally take off. It'll lift off very slowly at first. Ignition will come at 8 seconds, probably. And there are these big sort of brake things which will hold it down until we get to zero, and then it will take off very slowly. So slowly, I think it's going to fall over. Now, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, we have the ignition sequence, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and the flames, you can see them now, and she's ready to go, it's starting to move, and if you can hear the noise, you can probably hardly hear me, but there she goes, and it's pulling away from the tower. They're yelling, go, 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 you beaut, and now you'll hear the rumble. The stand that I'm sitting in is shaking, the lights in the stand are shaking, and there it goes. It's incredible, this huge white flame. There's smoke all around the thing. I'll just let you listen for a second to the noise. The people on their feet now saying, go, you beauty, go, and here it comes now, this roar. And we can still see it. It's gone into a very small patch of cloud. It's going to become clear again now. Well, there we go. It's firing up. It's an absolute beauty. You can still hear that sound. I know that as long as I live, I am never going to see anything quite like this one.
And in fact, do you know that voice? The voice there of a youngster who did his very first broadcast or outside broadcast there, mm-hmm. Darren Hinch, who went to Cape Kennedy. And he did that for Sydney's 2GB at the launch of Apollo 11. And actually just incredible to hear embedded in Darren Hinch as we know him now, you know, that excitement.
There's certain moments of just humanity in there where he rushes the countdown and he goes, 3, 2, 1, and a zero, because he got there too soon. Or when he's yelling, go you beauty, as if it's Winks or Farlap, but it's actually a rocket going into space. It's
how just, Australian too, because he was very proper at the start, the way he was narrating it. And then it's go you beauty.
It's more and more awkward by the end. I love it.
Were you there? We want to know. We're going to dive in deep today. Your memories, your experiences, your feelings of the moon landing, the whole experience, so many memories being recounted about that time, lots of people sitting in school classrooms, you know, and having that moment where you see Neil Armstrong step onto the moon for the very first time.
1-300-222-774, where were you when you watched the moon landing? We'd love to hear your stories as well.
One of the lovely things, we spoke to Stephen Slater, who is the chief archivist of Apollo 11, the documentary. Mm-hmm. And we asked him, you know, what was the best bit of footage that you found? And you would expect it would be something about, you know, foot going to moon or something.
Yes.
But he said, actually, it's the footage of all the people watching this. You know, it's such a snapshot of the time. And there's something absolutely remarkable about this reflection about the moon, really. It's when an event captured the entire world and stole its imagination and gave it this capacity to hope and dream for our human capacity.
I wonder if you slow down the archival footage that you found, you might see Darren Hinch in the stands yelling, go, you beauty!
very good. We are going to, right now, speak to somebody who had a lot to do with it. A lot of talk's been going on around parks.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a little tracking station by the name of Honeysuckle that had something to do with it.
Honeysuckle, hello, I see
you, sir. Okay, can you pull the door open a little more?
Australia is strategically located
to be one of three stations around the world which are the ones that we have designed to take care of the data from coming back from Apollo on the moon. And the competence of the Australian staffs, the technical skill that they have developed over the years, is extremely important to us in the conduct of the Apollo mission.
Buzz, this is Houston. F2, 1/160 a second. For shadow photography on the sequence camera.
All stations, we have just switched video to Honeysuckle.
TV online.
The
picture
on the TV.
Honeysuckle video online.
Now, Sammy, I know this is one of your favorites, and it probably is one of yours. You've seen the movie The Dish.
Yeah, it's the historical document about what happened.
Wrong. It's a story of the town of Parkes in South Australia, home to the Australian Parkes Observatory, which portrays the heroic story of this little town playing a big part in relaying the images of the moon landing around the world via NASA Mission Control using their radio telescope. Not entirely true. The country obviously wept in pride when they saw that. Well, people, it's time that we get the real and entire story, because Parkes was not the only hero of the story. And in fact, another tracking station near Canberra called Honeysuckle Creek was instrumental to that moment that we all know. The man who was there when Apollo 11 landed on the moon worked as the deputy director of the Honeysuckle Creek tracking station and was in charge of operations there. He's going to help us set the story straight this morning. Thank you so much for joining us, Mike Dinn.
Oh, good morning.
Now, for us hearing about Honeysuckle for the first time, it was one of three, you know, roughly of the NASA space tracking stations that were set up around the world. Broadly, what was the role of a tracking station during the moon landing?
Well, the role of any tracking station is to communicate. The word tracking is a little bit of a misnomer. We communicated up to the astronaut from Houston, and we communicated from the astronaut down and back to Houston. That typically included voice and data and television. And so our tracking station at Honeysuckle Creek, south of Canberra, did a similar job, had similar capabilities to those at sister stations at Madrid and in the California desert. These particular three had large dishes. There was a dozen other tracking stations around the world, and in the case of Australia, a very large one at Carnarvon. I think it had about 160 employees. Carnarvon was a very busy station, supported very many missions. But that was the role of the Honeysuckle station. We prided ourselves on being as transparent as we could be. In other words, that the astronauts didn't even need to know that there was a tracking network, and the Houston controllers didn't need to know there was a tracking network.
How early in the Apollo 11 program were you notified that the possibility of beaming the footage down from the moon off off Neil Armstrong taking those first steps would fall upon you?
Well, I suppose it would have been several months ahead of time, because we had to implement a lot of special equipment, and that all took a lead time. For example, this television signal that came down from the moon was only 10 frames per second and only a few hundred lines, and it had to be converted initially to the American standard. So we had a very special piece of equipment which did that. Also, we had to get several microwave links installed between the Honeysuckle Creek tracking station and the centre of Canberra. Otherwise, we couldn't get the signal out of the place. That involved getting the assistance of the ABC and all the commercial television stations. I think we soaked up just about all the microwave link outside broadcast hardware that Australia had. Because something similar had to be done to get the signal out of Parkes as well. And this brings out the fact that it wasn't just us at the tracking station who made all this happen. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of other people trying to do, helping to achieve that event.
The moon landing, people recount it now, you know, in their memories of it being really emotional, really incredible experience. You are at that moment where you are seeing footage of that landing for the very first time before anyone else did. Did you get caught up in the emotion of it when that was happening?
No, really. Well, yes and no. My job and all the people there had to be pragmatic. You had to focus on your task, your job, and mainly because if you didn't do it, no one else would. And at best, there'd be a hole in the system. At worst, you'd lose data and information. Then, however, you did still have some capability to look around a little bit. And yes, we did see the television picture coming in, though we truly didn't really know what to expect.
Now looking back 50 years later on this achievement, on all the work that Honeysuckle did, all the work that you and your team did as well, what stands out as one of the greatest memories?
Well, the receipt of the television. We didn't realise, however, at the time that it would still be a big deal 50 years hence. and we do end up in some rather lengthy debates as to exactly whose television was received, where and when, and transmitted where and when. And it's all pervasive that everybody wants a straight story. But another part of me says, well, it really doesn't matter who did what. Mm-hmm. The fact is it was a project with thousands of people involved. Everybody did their part. And the thing to focus on is not the minutiae of it, but the totality of such an achievement. There were so many things that could have gone wrong, but all those who were involved in general knew what could go wrong in their own particular part, and they did as much as they could to prevent any such problem.
If you want to find out more, there is a brilliant website that's been put together. It's called honeysucklecreek.net. Mike Dean, your part in this is wonderful to speak about today. 50th anniversary is on Saturday. Where will you be?
We're having a lunch here in Canberra for about 450 people, and we time it as it happened. Luckily, the first step is at 1:08 local time. So for the last 30 years, we've timed our lunch and rolled special videos of the first step on the moon to coincide with that 1:08.
It's a wonderful celebration. It's wonderful to have an opportunity to speak to someone like you who was so up close and personal and responsible for what we know now as what we see as the moon landing. Mike Dean, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.